Grace be unto you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The word of God upon which we meditate this last Sunday in the church year is taken from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. In the name of Jesus the Christ, the eternal King, the King of Kings, dear fellow citizens of his kingdom. She's still quite active. At the age of 93, she was just 25 years old when her father, King George VI, died, and she's been the Queen of England ever since his death, February the 6th, 1952. She's the longest tenured monarch in the history of the British Empire, having ruled for 67 years. And if she makes it to the age of 96, she will have been the longest ruling European monarch in history, 70 years. When Queen Elizabeth dies, then her son, no spring chicken himself at 71, will take the throne, and after him, Prince William. On the other hand, he is the eternal God. When he entered the human race about 4 BC, he was born of the Virgin Mary. He did not begin to exist 9 months before his birth, for he had existed from eternity. There never was a time when he was not. After having lived a sinless life on this earth for 33 years, he laid down his life to make atonement for every sin of every human being that has and will ever live. Afterward, on the third day, he rose again from the dead, and 40 days later ascended into heaven, where he sat down at the right hand of God, having been given the highest place of authority and power in the universe. Jesus of Nazareth, the exalted Christ of God, has been ruling the universe for just about 2,000 years. Since he ascended into heaven. But you won't find his name in the Guinness Book of World Records. In fact, the world at large does not recognize either the kingship or the authority of Christ the King. When he first revealed to Pontius Pilate that he was in fact a king, Pontius Pilate couldn't believe his eyes or his ears and responded to Jesus' kingship by having a title written in mockery to be hung above his head on the cross, the King of the Jews. Even his own people, the religious leaders of the day, mocked his kingship and refused to offer allegiance to him, saying instead that the Roman emperor was their king. The Roman soldiers made fun of Jesus' claim to be king, showing their scorn for him by weaving a crown of thorns and offering him a plain stick as his scepter. They dressed him in a faded purple robe. And they bowed down before him, offering him vinegar. Even one of the men executed alongside of him mocked him, calling upon him to prove his authority and power by saving him. And sadly, on that day, only his counterpart, only another criminal, wanted anything to do with the kingdom of Christ. Today's the last Sunday in the church year, simply entitled Christ the King, and the title is no joke. This morning, we are reminded that Christ has qualities unlike any other king this world has or ever will know. And Christ the King deserves praise above every other king this world has or will ever know. So may God the Holy Spirit grant that we live in faith in Christ the King and die faithful to Christ the King. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, ever since the beginning, Satan has been trying tirelessly to turn eyes and hearts away from you and your word and your Son and Savior, Jesus Christ. When doubts arise in my heart and trial and temptation come my way, help me to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross to rescue me from eternal death. He destroyed the work of the devil and is not ashamed to call us his brothers and sisters. In every tribulation and affliction, let me always see Jesus as the strength of my heart, the joy of my life, and the certainty of my salvation. In his name I pray. Amen. Sensationalism. We live in the age of sensationalism. Reality, honesty, and humility mean next to nothing, it seems, today. Social media thrives because of sensational headlines. Get us to click the little link to see if it's true. It's all about perception and spinning reality. Nearly every business offers to claim or claims to have the lowest prices and the best service. It simply would not do to say you have great prices or honest service. It isn't enough to offer a good product. You have to be the biggest, the best, the greatest, or at least to claim to be. We're constantly being told this or that is the best, and you just gotta try it. Your life will never be the same without it. Have you listened to a commercial lately? Athletes who find success are referred to as the best, the greatest. Now, even some athletes are dubbed GOAT, the greatest of all time. I understand success. But what kind of foolishness suggests that no one will ever be better? It's getting to the point where certain words just don't mean anything anymore. Millions of dollars used to be an immense number, but not anymore. Literally rarely means literally. A miracle is almost never really a miracle. And forever means nothing. Sensationalism. In the Word of God before us this morning, we find some words applied to Christ that really do mean what they say. But that's only because they're applied to Christ the King. There is no other king that has these qualities or ever will. There is no other king that deserves this kind of praise or ever will. He is literally the most exalted king of time and eternity. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God. What does it mean when it says that Christ is the King of the ages? When we hear that word ages, we probably think of a period of time in history. We probably think of an age as a fixed period like the Middle Ages or the Age of Reason. When this word is used in its plural form, it refers to an unlimited period of time. In fact, at the very end of this verse, the words forever and ever are literally the ages of the ages. When Christ is called the King of the ages, it means that he is the eternal king. Earthly kings and their greatness are measured by the length of their rule and the things that they accomplished while on the throne. Earthly kings, however, are confined by time, and their rules and their kingdoms come to an end at their death. King David ruled for 40 years and then died. But when God sent the angel Gabriel to the Virgin Mary, he promised that her son's rule would not be ended by death. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. But Christ isn't only called the King of Ages, but also described as immortal. That word translated immortal means imperishable. In 1 Corinthians, the same word is used in contrast, to contrast the crown of olive branches or leaves that were given to an Olympic champion in ancient days with the crown that's to be given to believers. He said, "And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. They do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown." In contrast to every other earthly king and queen who are perishable, who die and their reign comes to an end, Christ the King is imperishable. And neither he nor his kingdom will dry up and fade away. He is also invisible. Earthly kings are in the spotlight, are they not? If they are to be successful, they have to understand that. And they have to be visible. Their public and personal lives have to be beyond reproach. They have to be respectful and set an example of honesty, integrity, and dignity. An earthly king has to keep his word and take responsibility for his actions. He has to be fair, to enforce the law in his realm. The king has to look the part of a king and to cultivate his image. And no earthly king has ever been above reproach. Every king has a skeleton in his closet, so to say, or a face that needs saving. But Christ the King, having taken up the full use of his divine power, is invisible. And even if he were visible, he wouldn't need to cultivate his image or to get rid of a skeleton in the closet. He wouldn't need to take responsibility for his actions because he was himself perfect and pure without sin. It was he alone who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. And he is the only God. Every other king connected to the human race was only human. The emperors of the Roman Empire may have claimed to have been gods, but their personal lives were a parade of proof to the contrary. And still, Roman citizens and those under their power always thought twice about saying anything bad about the emperor. For to do so was to risk punishment or death. In contrast to this, it is the human way to criticize Christ the King. He is imperishable, we perishable. He invisible, we very visible. He is the only God, and we are his creation. It is for us the fact that Jesus is God that gives us comfort and confidence in the face of every single enemy. For while they mocked Christ's citizenship or his kingship when he came in humility to save, while he is openly mocked today and treated with contempt and scorn, the day is coming when all that will change. For God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Christ the King has qualities unlike any other king, and he deserves praise above every other king. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Christ the King really does deserve honor. The word that's translated honor here is a word that means price or value. If you own something that had a very high price tag, was very, very expensive, you would take careful care of it. We might say the higher the value, the higher the price, the greater the honor. Our mountain of sin, a mountain we could never have atoned for, is nothing in Christ. It isn't just forgotten. Atonement has been made. Forgiveness obtained for every single individual sin. Instead of eternal punishment, we are promised eternal life in the presence of our Creator. A life without sin, sorrow, death, crying, or pain. We bear His name. We are called Christian. So do we bring honor to His name, or do we bring it shame? Do we try to fit in, purposely tarnish our own reputation to escape trouble in this life? We do, to our own shame. And still He loves us. Still He strengthens us by His word. Still He helps us to mature through word and sacrament so that we hallow His name and His word. He forgives. Don't be shamed into honoring the King. Look at the cross, and you won't be able to help yourself. Christ the King not only deserves honor, He deserves glory forever and ever. It belongs to Him. And He will receive that glory. He will receive it from the mouths of those who have been redeemed by His blood. He will receive it from the mouths of the angels who surround His throne. And by the grace of God, we will join them to sing His praise forever. Now, perhaps you noticed that these words, this song of praise or doxology, is near the end of the first chapter of the first letter of Paul to Timothy. What was it that the Holy Spirit used to prompt the Apostle Paul to write these words of praise? It was the fact that God had had mercy on him, a man who had been an enemy, a blasphemer, and the self-proclaimed chief of sinners. We could stand next to Paul and say some of the same things that he did in the words leading up to this doxology. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me, because He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.